Pastor Charlie Froh and his wife Jan, who are involved in mission work in Kenya, but not just mission work, is it, Charlie?
No, it's not. It's actually teaching future pastors and deaconesses at Matongo Theological College in Chibera, Matongo, Kenya.
Now, I know you've been at this for a while. You've been kind of traveling back and forth, teaching courses and that sort of thing. Tell us a little bit about your involvement and how you got involved with this work.
In 2009, Dr. Quill from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne asked if I would accompany him to Kenya to teach the catechism. I was delighted to do so, and when I was there, the Archbishop, Dr. Walter Obari, and the principal, Dr. Joseph Ochola, happened to attend the session I was teaching. And when they, when I'd finished, they immediately kind of bull rushed me and said, "Would you come here to teach?"
On a permanent basis?
Yes.
Wow.
I said, "Wow, not right now. I have a parish in San Mateo, California, and I continued to serve them from that time. But I would go back for a month each year after that or so and share with them the teaching that was assigned to me, usually some part of the catechism or some part of practical theology."
Now, how long ago was this that you went over there for the first time?
The first time was 2009, and then my wife was able to accompany me in 2011. And so we went there, and she was invited also by the Archbishop to come and teach when he found out she was an English teacher and had taught in Lutheran schools and had also taught adults in the business community for her last 12 years of service.
So Jan's over there teaching English. What else are you doing, Jan?
I also am blessed to be able to work with the deaconesses and prepare them for what they will be doing when they get back into their villages. And I also am blessed to use my trumpet to accompany them as they learn their new hymnal, the Abata Takatifu.
Abata Takatifu.
Yes.
That's kind of fun to say. In Kenya, well, you're not just teaching Kenyans, are you? You're actually working with other people from other areas. Is the work of the deaconess different than the work of the deaconesses here in America?
Oh, there's probably a very big difference in the fact that these young women will be going back to their own villages and bringing the service of word and service and mercy back to those people.
Very good, Charlie. Tell us a little bit about the history of the Lutheran Church in Kenya. Does it have deep roots? Does it go back quite a ways?
It was originally started by Norwegian lay missionaries back in the late 40s following World War II. They were invited into the country. They've had various successes and failures. Most of the early mission work started from Norway, Sweden, and Finland. And so those missionaries came. In the early 1980s, the seminary was formed. And by that time, it was mostly those three groups that participated. And they've had a number of pastors trained. Many of them were originally trained as evangelists, which are sort of, in our parlance, maybe less dignified than a vicar. but they mostly would serve under sometimes missionaries who would help support them.
Was it until the 1980s kind of this, I don't know if paternalistic's the right word or not, but the idea that the Western world sends missionaries and they do the word and sacrament work, and the indigenous people pretty much are not capable of this sort of thing. Is that kind of the genesis of a seminary in a situation like this, or am I just out to lunch?
I don't know that I would say it quite that way. I think what happened was the foreign mission societies brought not only missionaries to train and teach pastors and evangelists, but they also brought money, funding. And so they paid for everything in most cases, and stewardship was not taught and not certainly not practiced. And some of the residue of that still kind of haunts the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Kenya today. Then in the mid-2000s, 2004, 2005, the bishop of the ELCK was working with Lutheran World Federation but refused to accept women pastors and homosexual teachings, etc. And so the funding from Lutheran World Federation was cut way back, and that really brought some economic stress and hardship to the people there. Following that time, then, discussions began with the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and in 2007, during the presidency of the Reverend Dr. Gerald Kieschnick, the ELCK and the Missouri Synod became partner church bodies after a period of discussion.
It seems that Africa is keeping a lot of denominations more on the conservative side. I know that the African Episcopalians tend to be the conservative Episcopalians, or rather Anglicans, and that sort of thing. And it sounds like this is the same sort of thing when it comes to the Lutheran World Federation. Are they solidly confessional these days in Kenya?
It depends on, I suppose, who you ask that question of. Of course, we always need to go back to our roots. We always need to understand the gospel. We always need to understand the great distinction of long gospel. We also need to know our confessions and why those confessions still speak to us today. In many ways, and by the way, I've been teaching Confessions 1 and Confessions 2 several classes of students now, and I must say it's been wonderful for me to go back and see the rich theology that I find there, which I had known was there but hadn't really pursued it diligently in the last several years. That's been a great joy to me in my retirement.